The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. I bring you greetings from our other 160 congregations and other ministries in the Rocky Mountain Synod. I usually bring greetings from Bishop Gonia as well, but since you're going to be having him as your worship leader next week, I guess I don't need to do that today in the same way. He can do that himself next week. So when my son and daughter, who are now 25 and 27, were in their formative years, there was one certain phrase that I found myself repeating a lot. It was this: "We all make choices." I said it with that sort of loving yet sarcastic tone, reminding them without saying so that there are consequences that come with choices. And I'm sure it's because of my extraordinary parenting that my kids didn't push the envelope too far. But it's true. We all make choices. Even the choice to show up here now for yet another Zoom gathering, church by Zoom of all things. But you made choices and you made it happen. You maybe set the alarm this morning and got up on time, made yourself presentable. Except maybe those people with your cameras off, but that's a choice that you get to make. I was thinking about everything that had to happen for all of us to be here now. Little choices, they're sort of, you know, a lot of little kind of marble size choices, little cute, adorable things, getting up, deciding what to wear, what to eat. I made the choice to have chai tea this morning rather than coffee. And then you decided to look at the clock and put the newspaper down and cozy up next to the computer screen with your friends and some guy from the bishop's office named Kent. But how did I get here today? I'm not normally here. Sometimes I join in my brother's congregation in Chicago or my own congregation, Augustana. There were some bigger choices that brought me here. These are choices that are maybe about this big. You know, Bishop Gonia sent me an email and asked if I was available to do the sermon, and I checked the calendar and saw that I didn't have any conflicts. Wondered if I could squeeze in preparing a sermon in a busy week, and it looked okay. So I said yes, made that choice. Then this last Friday night, about 9 o'clock, I made the significant choice to turn off watching another episode of The Good Place and start a sermon because I knew I'd sleep better if I gave this some attention on Friday rather than wait till like last night at 9 o'clock. And as an aside, if you haven't watched The Good Place, it's all about the ethics of choices and consequences. Yeah, but A lot of choices about this big led up to me being here, and lots of little ones, but how did I really end up in Denver, Colorado as an assistant to the bishop at all? I could probably spend a whole day on this conversation, but this is where big choices come into play, ones that are maybe about this big, big things that we are faced with that result in how it is that things are how they are. Things that have lots of consequences, make tectonic shifts in who we are and what we are. I could go back 150 years or so to when Heinrich and Anna Müller decided to emigrate to the United States from Germany. I can't even imagine how big of a choice that was for them in 1869. But they made that choice. And really, if they hadn't, I would not be the same person this minute. Who would I be? I wouldn't exist at all in the same way, perhaps. Not even perhaps, I wouldn't. They chose to move to Columbus, Nebraska after first starting out in Wisconsin. And my parents are both from around Columbus. But in 1961, my parents made a huge choice. From my point of view, one of these. A huge choice to leave Nebraska and to move to Longmont, Colorado, instead of Kansas City. Now, from my point of view, good choice, because it's much cooler to say that I was born in Longmont, Colorado, than Kansas City. When it was time for me to choose a seminary, I visited St. Paul in Chicago and Columbus, Ohio, kind of a Y with three paths ahead. I chose Trinity Seminary in Ohio. Because of that, I ended up for my first call in Northeast Ohio. And then I was faced with the choice of whether or not to take a call, literally in the middle of nowhere in Northeast Ohio, in Mokesena, Ohio. I'm sure you've heard of it. And it wasn't right. And I said no, which was hard to do, because first call people, they kind of say, you know, you can't, if you say no, you never know what the next one might be. Well, so I ended up instead for my first call in Wadsworth, Ohio, which it's a whole nother story, but that's where I met my wife, who was from Warren. And that's where my second call ended up being. And I sort of thought that I'd be living in Ohio for many, many more years until my wife's mother unexpectedly died. And you know, the only living grandparents to my kids, my parents, were here in Colorado. So there again was a fork in the road. From my point of view, I came home to Colorado. My wife ventured west to a place she'd barely been before. And there's way, 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 way more to the story, but all of those things and more had to happen for me to be here now, today. We all make choices. We experience the consequences, maybe results is a better word. Consequences sounds negative, but the results that are good or bad or neutral. Sometimes choices happen to us and we have to pick up the pieces. I wonder if Jesus in all of his humanity found himself living in a life just like ours, full of choices. He decided to visit the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, where Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. For Jesus, this was sort of a marble-sized decision. Or was it a four-square ball-sized choice? Or was that a huge thing for him to take her by the hand and lift her up and to heal her? And when at sunset, he probably had a choice to make. Should I deal with all of these sick people and those possessed with demons? And the whole city is gathering outside, the whole city? And yet he chose to go where the need was and the pain was and to cast out demons and to heal. And in the morning, he probably wanted to just roll over and get more sleep. But he made a choice. He first got up and went to a deserted place to pray. And then he traveled more to neighboring towns and proclaimed a message of healing, and he cast out demons. For Simon's mother-in-law, for the other sick, for those overcome by the demons of life that resulted in their dis-ease. This was something that happened to them. I can't help but equate what happened to them in Jesus' presence to the word grace. Gifts, restoration, healing, renewal, life. Whatever you want to call what happens to you when you're in despair. And like yesterday, when I noticed that the daffodils and tulips are coming up, and that winter will soon be over, and maybe even the pandemic will end, and maybe we can gather together and sing and pray and eat bread and wine together, in flesh, in person. Sure, it may be the 48th week of the pandemic, our new liturgical season, with churches closed. But it's also the first week after you said farewell to your beloved Pastor Asher. I'm certain it feels as though that is a choice that happened to you, and you're now having to pick up the pieces. You have to know that for him and Leslie, I'm sure it was a decision that was at least this big, at least that big. It will change their life direction forever, one of those tectonic shifts, future changes. And your lives as the people of Highlands Lutheran Church, none of us knows what's in store for our future. My parents could have made one different choice in 1961. And you want to know what? I'd probably be a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, living a completely, completely different life. Some of our more conservative religious friends are always talking about God's will. You know, God has a plan for my life, and it's my purpose to figure out what that plan is and to make those godly choices. And if things seem to go haywire, we just respond by saying, you know, it was just God's plan. I don't buy that in the way that many others believe it. You know, each of all those choices I talked about, each one has a consequence or a result, not necessarily bad or good, just a result that's different. It leads to another set of choices. Some of them the size of a marble, what to eat for breakfast, or medium size. I could have looked at the calendar and noticed that synod council meetings were Friday and yesterday, and I'd have a busy week, and I'd, you know, right now want to be cooking up all of my Super Bowl snacks, my 7-layer dip, smoking my ribs out on the grill. Not. And maybe I just didn't want to have to be writing a sermon late at night on Friday, February 5th. And you'd have somebody else here today, and your life would be slightly different. But then you ponder those huge choices. My parents moving to Kansas City? Who would I be right now? Would I have still gone to seminary? Maybe. But each decision, large or small, unfolds a new future, different, surprising, completely unknown. What I know is that we are each a unique and wonderfully loved child of God for who we are right now. The sum product of our circumstances and our genetics and our choices. Indeed, a unique child of God. What I've come to know is that the God I believe in may indeed be omniscient, all-knowing, but not in the way we usually think. For each choice set before me or you with two or more outcomes, God knows every path of every permutation, of every decision, such that God is always meeting us where we are as we take our next faithful steps into God's future. So it is that, yes, we all make choices, and we live in God's love and grace and healing. Amen.